He just kept showing up underneath of me throughout the whole entire thing. Like I was like, oh, I'm a goner. And then he was there. Like, oh, I'm for sure a goner. Oh, he's still here. He's like the ultimate fighter. So I'm lucky to be on top of him.
Welcome to the Major League Eventing Podcast. The show for eventing fans by eventing fans.
And Karen, as usual, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Mane & Tail, Karen.
Only the best.
Only the best. We love Mane & Tail. You know, we always talk about all the different horse products that Mane & Tail puts out. But you know what? They do have a full line of beauty products for you and me, Karen.
They sure do.
So do you have a favorite product that you'd like to use for Mane & Tail?
I think I would have to say it's the hair strengthener.
The hair strengthener. I've definitely seen that on your beauty counter.
I love using it. I tell you what, it really has strengthened my hair. I have less split ends, and it's actually, I get a little thin in certain areas, and it's actually been growing.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Your hair, but I know you've always had, I know you've always complained about, you know, your hair being a little thin, and you're always picking at your split ends and all that stuff. So, and I see you using this, and I do see an improvement. So let's hear all about it, Karen.
So it is a daily protective and fortifying leave-in treatment for stronger, healthier hair. It nourishes and repairs. It provides essential protection to help prevent split ends, protects hair strands from heat and chemical styling, which I do a lot. I do a lot of that. Provides additional moisturizing and conditioning protection. It is alcohol-free, and it's safe and gentle for all hair types.
That's wonderful. So, like I say, I know you've been using it, and you love it. And we asked the folks over at Mane & Tail, hey, can we talk about the beauty products, because they are so fantastic. So, because the audience, the horses aren't listening, Karen.
No, they're not.
You know what I mean? It's the people. So, I use the products, you use the products. So we're going to start, you know, mixing in some of the beauty products along with the horse care line. So check it out at maneandtail.com if you want to learn more about the products. And we just got to say thanks again to Mane & Tail for all their support over the years. Triple Crown Feed.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Triple Crown, big fans of Triple Crown Feed. They have tons of great products out there, premium stuff. Karen, what do you got to say over there?
So Triple Crown has formulas that are tailored to your horse's unique needs and help support immunity and gut health. Find your local Triple Crown Feed dealer by going to triplecrownfeed.com.
Triplecrownfeed.com. That's a little bit of a tongue twister.
It is.
Triplecrownfeed.com. They have a great feed locator. They have a great feed comparison tool on their website. I encourage everyone to get over there. Check out Triple Crown Feed's website. Check out the different products. Check out what makes them so special. And give them a shot, right, Karen?
Oh, yeah.
Support the people to support the show. Trish Scott has got us covered, and she can cover you, too. She took care of our horse, off-the-track thoroughbred Mercury, ridden by our son, Joe. Trish is with us to talk a little bit about equine insurance. Trish, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Rob. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much. You increased our horse's value. Can you tell us a little bit about why we had to increase his value?
Well, the biggest thing is that you bought him a year ago. Joe's been working with him directly, taking him to all these shows, exposing him, training him, the monthly fees, the daily work. So all that training that he's done, all the showing that he's done, how where he's placed, I was able to approach several different carriers. Praetorian is where he is right now. And just by showing them his records, his training fees, I was able to substantially really increase Mercury's value, because that's a whole year of training and showing under his, you know, that Joe has been doing with him, that you now have insured, you know, under this policy with Praetorian.
Gotcha. So, hey, it's important to make sure that your horse is properly valued when you're insuring them. So, Trish, if people want to talk to you about their insurance for their equine friends, how do they get a hold of you?
Oh, just call myself. The best way to reach me is 484-319-8923.
I'm Robbie.
And I'm Karen. And we're your hosts of the Major League Eventing Podcast. And Robbie, this week, I'm really excited because this rider I watched on the live stream for the Carolina International.
Yep.
And I really think she had the save of the weekend cross country. I mean, I was like, I was yelling at the TV because I was like, oh my God, stay on. And she did awesome. So welcome to the show, four star rider Alexa Thompson.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. For sure. Oh, my gosh. I actually was telling Robbie this a couple of weeks ago. I was like, we got to have Alexa on because that ride through that final water.
Oh, gosh.
That was amazing.
I'm glad you thought so. I was in awe the whole way through. I couldn't believe that. Yeah, we were still going.
Yeah.
Shout out to. Yeah.
You had to be super glued to that saddle because
I don't know. I think Cardi just kept showing up underneath of me throughout the whole entire thing. Like I was like, oh, I'm a goner. And then he was there. Like, oh, I'm for sure a goner. Oh, he's still here. He's like the ultimate fighter. So I'm lucky to be on top of him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and the rest of the course was amazing, too.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just that really. And you weren't the only one that had that issue. I saw Doug Payne later. He lost his stirrup as well.
The horses seem to be jumping pretty hard into it. It's a big enough question, you know, to jump in. And yeah, I think that some of them were pecking on the landing. So I was really happy with how he went the whole way through. And then he jumps big into water to begin with. That's definitely our homework. And then yeah, to have it go that way wasn't really the plan, but I'm a fighter and he's a fighter, so that definitely worked to our advantage.
Hey, that's why you're an eventer. You know, it's
no equitation points.
Thank
just,
God.
Yeah, just get it done. So, well, Alexa, we have a lot to go over. We have a lot to go over. But before we do, we always love to know where our guests are coming to us from. So where are you at right now?
So right now I'm in my house in Lexington, Kentucky.
Okay. So you are probably seeing everything happening, getting ready for the big event coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I was just actually at a board meeting for the MSEDA, our Mid-South Dressage and Eventing Association, and it's at the horse park. So it was pretty exciting to be around, and I'm trying really hard not to go and look too closely because Cardi is hopefully going to go do the four short there at the end of the month too.
Nice. So.
Yeah.
Very cool. Awesome. Yeah. Now, do you, I guess you live really close to the park, do you?
Yeah. So my husband works for Spy Coast Farm, which is like literally next door to the horse park. And we live in a house that they own, and it's just 10 minutes from the horse park and then 15 minutes from my farm. So our family farm. So it's really convenient. It's
yeah.
Really
yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's beautiful there too. I love going to Kentucky. I think this year we're not going to be able to make it. But too much going on. But next year we got to go next year. So
well, let me know when you guys come. We can go get dinner, or do something fun, or you guys come out to the farm.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. I know we're still in Kentucky, but I do love that one restaurant, Carson's.
Oh my gosh, have you been for brunch?
No,
just for dinner.
Just dinner.
Dinner. Exceptional brunch. Oh my gosh, you can't get me excited talking about food.
All right, so next time we go we're going to Carson's for brunch.
We'll find time for it for sure.
Yeah. Oh goodness, see now I want to go, but all right. We can't. All right.
Just a short 9-hour drive.
I know.
Easy. Come on, Eventers.
I know, right. So, Alexa, can you actually take us back and tell us how you got your start in riding and then into eventing?
Yeah. So, I mean, I know I'm not that old necessarily, but it feels like a long time ago. I'm the youngest of three, and so I've been really, really lucky that my sister kind of felt her way through the horse thing first. And so I grew up loving the horses. My mom was an Army brat and was never able to have, or an Air Force brat, sorry. She was never able to really like do horses, but she always loved them. And so as soon as she and my dad got married, that was like the first thing that she had to do was get a horse. And they didn't really know that much about horses. So my sister was the kind of test dummy, so to speak. And when we lived in Colorado, they got my sister started in Pony Club. She showed up to her first Pony Club meeting. Like one of the neighbors, I think, said like, oh, you guys should do this Pony Club thing, probably looking at how dangerous we were being. So she showed up in like her English saddle that I think we, you know, got out of the newspaper, and a Western like giant bit and like a Troxel helmet. So they kind of found their way through it, and I got to like hop in at the end and enjoy like all of her first horses. They got to be then mine. So she got them ready for me, and then I got to enjoy getting our Shetland pony Panda when I was six. And she was like your classic pony, right? That every kid really should have. She like dragged me under all of like the tree branches and like bolt and buck. And she knew like just the right move to go under like bolt, take me under a tree branch, and then buck as soon as she felt me, you know, lose my balance. She made me hardy. I think maybe that's really where I learned to hang on at Carolina. And then from there, I got my sister's horse, Cisco. He was a pony. It was a Mustang that, again, my parents had found in a newspaper. And he was four when they got him for Kelsey, which was like a BLM Mustang, like very much green broke, not the right first horse. But he ended up being the best and the most saintly. Like once we were on him, he knew that he had to take care of you. And so I enjoyed doing my first Pony Club rallies and horse shows and things with him. He did not like stalls, so like formal inspection and doing all of that stuff, it was always a little bit of drama. But then he took me to my first beginner novice, and I got, you know, the eventing bug, so to speak, and really, really enjoyed it. And from then on, we had actually moved at that time to Texas, and somehow it's so my family, we moved to this tiny, tiny town outside of Dallas. And my mom went to the feed store and she said, you know, my kids really like this eventing thing. Are there any, you know, coaches or trainers here in this town that do that? And the lady said, well, yeah, there's Mike Huber, who's the head Olympic selector just down the street. My mom was like, oh, well, that sounds like he would do it, right? And so she called up Mike and was like, hi, can my kids have a lesson with you? And he's like, well, come over. And of course, my sister being the test dummy, bring the older one over and I'll watch her ride and we'll decide, you know, what to do or whatever. And so she went over on the Mustang, and Cisco was a honey, right? And he said, the kid rides great, but we might need a different horse. And so I kind of got to go and watch all of her lessons. And we ended up being next to two of the best neighbors in the world. It was like a really cool 100-acre farm called Quail Run Farm. And a lovely British woman and her husband, Jan and Peter Walling, they used to run recognized events out of it, and were actually doing schooling shows and stuff. And so they kind of took us under their wing, and Jan and then her neighbor, Lynn Partridge, would watch over me. So like I'd be out jumping the ponies, you know, over jumps with no ground line. And they would call my mom and, hey, do you know Alexa's out galloping around without a ground line under the fences? And they would come over and kind of teach me how to do things. And so all of my childhood was me fooling around on my own and the neighbors making sure I didn't do anything too wildly, wild. And then, finally I was old enough and maybe mature enough to, go ride with Mike. And he had found a little thoroughbred off the track in Louisiana, and we had gone over and just picked her up, off the backside, and I couldn't stop her even when I tried her, but I thought that that was really cool coming from Cisco, who I had to like kick and whip on to get him to canter. And so that was the horse that ended up taking me to my first NAJYRC, first Young Riders. And it definitely didn't go the way that, you know, like the dream story would, right? Like I was a 15-year-old kid and I'd made a ton of mistakes on her growing up, and she had put up with me all the way up to that kind of level. And I think we walked into show jumping in 11th, and I was so excited, right? Like, oh my gosh, close to top 10. Like if I jump around clean, I went in, and I think I swung and I missed like properly into the double. And poor Crystal was like, 15-2, I cannot do this. And we had to stop. And I ended up, I think, taking like every rail from then on. If you look at my record, I was like 48 show jumping penalties or something horrible between the poles and the time. Yeah. So, you know, it's just the beginning of learning how to do the sport and loving the highs and the lows of it and learning how to be a better teammate, right? Because I walked back to the barn after that and I didn't wait to see how my other teammates did. And I learned that that was a crappy move and, you know, not very sportsmanlike of me, and learned how to deal with my emotions and that sort of thing, which is part of it. And then, so Crystal, I think, was pretty topped out at that level. And we tried really hard to keep her confident, but wanted to do right by her. And I ended up buying a horse. My family ended up buying a horse called In Any Event, and we called him Mitch in the barn. And it was funny because the spring before, I had been hanging flyers. The family had paid me, you know, $20 to go to all the horse shows in Florida and hang his flyers up for the for sale dream horse flyer. And then he hadn't sold yet. And we kind of, my parents finally found, you know, kind of the means to be able to buy a horse of that caliber, so to speak. And we decided that that was a good investment. So we bought Mitch that summer, and he ended up being my next kind of awesome horse. And I was able to take him through the old two-star level, right now, the three-star level, so yes. Intermediate. And he was incredible and just a heart of gold. And he maybe wasn't the soundest of all of the horses in the world, but I learned how to trot a horse up and take good care of it and ice some more. And he gave me all the confidence in the world jumping. So that was pretty neat. And he came with me to college and we sold Crystal and the little thoroughbred. And I had found a little hunter prospect that I wanted to turn into an event horse. And so Mitch and Brownie at the time came to college with me in Kentucky because I'm the wild youngest child and I wanted to move as far away from home as I could, really. And my parents had told me I had to go to college. I was trying really hard to go be a working student somewhere. And my dad said, you have 4 years of our support after you graduate from high school. And it's your choice as to how you want to use those 4 years and look at the finances. And if it's that you want us to own horses for you for 4 years, cool. You can go work for somebody and we'll support that. But if you want to get a college education and you want to learn how to afford the horses on your own, maybe you should do that too. So look at the cost analysis. So, I did, I talked to some people and they said, you know, this nursing profession is pretty cool. And if you are a nurse, you only work 3 days a week. And then the other 4 days a week, you can go ride horses. And it, at the time, I was like, that is brilliant. I mean, 3 days. Yeah. So I looked up top 25 nursing schools in the country and I crossed off everyone where I couldn't go ride horses. I remembered going to Kentucky for young riders a couple of times. And so I was like, oh, yeah, Lexington, that's totally the hub. And at that time, it really wasn't quite the hub, but I knew Kathy Wieshoff and she's an awesome human. And I was like, screw it, I'm going. So yeah, we went up with Brownie and Mitch to college and somehow University of Kentucky decided to let me in, which was good on them, I guess. Oof, brave. Yep. And so I started my college education and Mitch kind of went through some more soundness stuff. And ultimately, I retired him. And Brownie moved up through the preliminary level and it was great. But I was driving out to Allie Knoll's barn. And at the time she was 45 minutes away. And so, you know, trying to drive out there and ride the horses and get back and do school and especially nursing. It was just a lot. And I'd grown up with horses in my backyard and I'd always mucked my own stalls and done all of that. My parents were looking at the finances of boarding the horses and yada, yada. And they said, well, why wouldn't we just invest in, you know, 5 acres and a 3-stall barn and get you have in-state tuition, you take care of your horses on your own, and then you can trailer to Allie for lessons and hopefully be closer to campus and that might make sense. Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. Yeah. If you guys want to do that, right? They're business people, business minded. Cool. Okay. And we started looking for farms, and at the time, the thoroughbred industry was not doing so well, and there were very little, if any, small properties. And so my mom said, well, I found this short sale on a 100-acre farm with three barns, and maybe we should go drive by and look at it. And I was like, yeah, of course. That sounds brilliant. So smart. Let's go. And so we went to go look at a farm, and the grass was really tall and the fences were a bit wobbly, and we loved it. And it had this cute little old farmhouse on it, and it was a dream come true. And a little bit of a tease, because I was still in college for nursing. And my parents said, if you can turn this into a business and you board horses here and you can pay the mortgage with the boarding, then we'll do it. And so that was the start of Clearview Equestrian Center, Clearview Farm, and named after Crystal Clear, the thoroughbred mare. And so, so then I was a sophomore in college with a farm and a growing boarding business. And yeah, it was kind of a journey in and of itself. So nursing school might have taken 5 years instead of four. Sorry, mom and dad. And they were awesome for supporting me through that. And really, I had to kind of take a step away from competing quite so much, obviously. So that was kind of a hit to the ego, especially as the young rider coming up and always wanting to do and be better. But we were able to, I sold Crystal and somebody had given her back to me. So we were able to actually breed her when she got back, and we bred another mare and figured, okay, it gives me something to look forward to when I graduate. And so that was kind of the beginning of the young horses. And since they're not young horses, like now they're 9 years old and 10 years old, and wow, I'm getting old, and they're all competing at the 3 and 4 star level now, and it's crazy, and I have this awesome business, and I graduated from nursing school. I did the nursing thing for 3 years, and at least walked away with a 401k and at some sort of stability financially, and here we are now with some really cool horses, a really great group of clients, and me not nursing probably as much as my parents had thought that I would be.
Goodness gracious.
Kind of a big, long journey.
No. Yeah. Wow. No, that's, I think it's, I love it. I wish I could have done it, but like your parents are like, oh, you're in Kentucky. You know, we don't want you driving so far. We'll buy a 5-acre farm. Well, let's go. And here it turns into a 100-acre farm. I mean, that's amazing. Yeah. That is awesome. Now,
pretty wild.
Yeah. I'm taking it. Nursing was not 3 days a week.
No. no. And especially not, not when they're 12-hour days, right? I didn't really take that into consideration. And I really loved the profession. I loved the job, the everything that it kind of stood for. But with, if you work days, you're in before the sun comes up, yeah, and you're out when the sun's already down. So then, especially if you're riding more than one horse, it's just nearly impossible. And you're turning around to go back into the hospital, and you have to not just start at 7, like you're there already, have gotten, you know, the start of report by 7. Mm-hmm. So it didn't really make sense. And working nights, that it's the other way around, and you're just a zombie of a human being. I went with the night route because then the sun woke me up, which was helpful at least. So, it was definitely not quite what I had thought it would be.
But. And at what point did you realize, all right, nursing, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to go full time. Rider.
Do you want the answer that my parents would like to hear?
Will they be listening?
No, nothing that they don't already know, really. I think really, truly, I struggled with a lot of frustration and also guilt related to the whole idea of me being in college. I knew that I wanted to do horses professionally from the beginning, from back when I was in high school. And so all through college, I didn't want to be in college. And then they bought the farm, which was such a blessing. I mean, truly, I'm the luckiest person, you know, in the world, really. I couldn't be more grateful. But also it felt like a little bit just them dangling something in front of my face, right? You know, and not intentionally on their part by any means, but I wanted to just focus on that and be my very best fit running the business and doing the farm. So I knew I didn't really want to be a nurse from the beginning, but I didn't want to let them down. I was so grateful to them for having invested in me and the farm and the whole lot. And so I never really knew kind of how or when to call it quits, especially not early on. And it was, you know, a couple arguments between me and my mom. I think her being frustrated and me being frustrated, right? But ultimately, I started working nights and I thought I could really pull it off for the first year. I was trying to run advanced on an old horse called Amistoso. And I remember that I had planned out my schedule. I worked six nights in a row so that I could have my 8 days free, so that I could get up to Millbrook. I'd worked the night, I'd come home, I'd slept for a few hours, and then we pulled out that afternoon. I came home, I think I rode, and then I took a nap, woke up, and then we pulled out that night to drive through the night to get up to New York. And I got lost. The Northeast was not made for me. I thought I moved to the Northeast and I moved to Kentucky. So that's my geography skills. No, but the bridges and all of the things, I turned onto some road that I couldn't get through. It was like such chaos and it was a lovely event, don't get me wrong, but could not figure out how to get there. And I was running on no sleep. I was, you know, somewhat prepared to run advanced on this horse. And I made an error in my dressage test. And I remember walking out of the arena and being like, we spent all this money on me coming up here, drove all this way. I worked six nights in a row to try and be here. And I came in and I had an error and did a halfway decent dressage test. For what? Like, that makes no sense. And so that was probably like the biggest shock to my system of like, you can't do it at this caliber and trying to do the nursing. Mm-hmm. And so I had a pretty serious heart to heart with both of my parents, who are incredible. And they said, okay, well, when do you walk away vested from your job at the hospital? And I said, after 3 years. And I said, sounds like a great end date. So that was kind of the light at the end of the tunnel. I knew Amistoso wasn't going to be like my big time horse. We decided to sell him and use that money to reinvest into some young horses that would get me to the end of that kind of 3 year period. And that was the kind of way that the cookie crumbled, so to speak.
Wow.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah.
So, and I guess one thing I was curious about, so going to school for nursing, got this big old farm that you're working on, but then you also had to kind of pay for it in a way with boarding. Like, how did you manage all of that plus then your own riding with that?
It's probably luckily a
similar story, but you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, luckily I didn't have, and luckily at that time I wouldn't have said luckily, but luckily I didn't have a ton of like upper level horses, really, not when I was in school. And so that took some of the pressure off of it. But in terms of like, I had a college boyfriend who was like a med student from Pennsylvania that kind of a neighborhood Pennsylvania boy, not country boy. And I was still mucking stalls at 8:30 at night and we were supposed to be going on a date. And he was so frustrated that we weren't leaving for the date. I'm like, I've got to muck these stalls. Like, they're not going to do it themselves. So that was kind of how I did college too. Like, I didn't necessarily have the normal college experience. But that was my choice and able to make it all work, right? I think there's like the triangle or whatever they say, like sweep, friends, school or something. And I just picked school and horses.
Sounds about right.
And were you just riding on your own / with Allie, or did you also like, were you part of like the UK like riding team or anything? Or
yeah, so the UK eventing team was like in its like beginning years. I'd actually joined a sorority my freshman year because my brother had told me like, that's how you do college. But my horse, like Mitch, was not always the most sound. So even when I was back at Allie's, like I had to miss meeting because he was abscessing or, you know, whatever. And then my parents wouldn't pay for sorority stuff. They said like, that's your social thing. That's not part of college. Like if you want to do it, then you pay for it. And so I was getting like $100 fines that I did not have the money for. And so dropped out of the sorority. And that was when UK Eventing popped up on, I don't know, Facebook or maybe a flyer or something on campus. And I was like, this seems pretty cool. So they became, kind of my sorority, so to speak. And then I was lucky enough, too, that Allie would come out to the farm and teach. We would have like a group, bring in lots of people. And that way she could have like an afternoon of coming to teach at the farm. So that worked really well until she got busy and moved out to her new place, Valley View. But the timing worked out great because I was finally able to kind of step up to teach the people that were at our place. So it all worked out quite well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is. Awesome.
Cool. And I guess that kind of brings us to where you are now. So you've already brought up Clearview Equestrian Center. So tell us all of what you kind of got going on with that.
Yeah. It's ever evolving, right? We're going into year 11 of owning the farm now, which is insane. Again, wow, I'm starting to feel old. but it is now a boarding training, primarily training facility. And we've got somewhere between 25 and 30 horses on the property all the time. A mixture of my competition horses, sale horses, some retirees that we just, they're too near and dear to our hearts to have anywhere else. And then clients that have training horses and or are coming for lessons and just to try to get better. So it's pretty handy. And then along with that, we've started to kind of slowly build our own mini Windora, which is not, I mean, it's like mini Windora, but a small little cross country field to get to practice on, which is neat because then people from the area and, you know, kind of other outside riders can come and practice and hopefully get better too. So pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, I guess I never really thought about it. In Kentucky, where do you go cross country schooling? No, like there isn't really
No. We have a local park that we actually, this house is next to, and it's super cool. It's open to the public. I mean, like incredible, incredible, but they have some really good kind of starter through beginner novice type fences, and they do like hunter paces out there and stuff like that. So it's a great resource for young horses and lower level riders. But in terms of places to go school for anywhere from, you know, novice and above, there aren't really any places. Allie has a private field, cross country field, which is incredible. But of course for insurance purposes and that sort of thing, they have to keep it, quite quiet over there. The horse park sometimes will have schooling days, periodically throughout the year, but they really want to try to keep the ground pristine for the 3-day, which you can't argue with. So we have another farm out in Louisville. But I think a lot of us, you know, a lot of the professionals in this area are trying to kind of build our own little schooling fields. Ours is probably the only one that's open to the public at the moment.
Wow. Like I never even really thought, we're in Maryland. So we're like in the Mecca of area two, and it's just, it doesn't matter which way we go, there's a place to go cross country schooling, like serious cross country schooling at that too. And I don't know. I guess we're just so spoiled. And I would think Kentucky, being Kentucky, would have
good something.
something like some sort of like really good cross country schooling.
Yeah. I mean, and I forgot to say Kathy's place is there too. Kathy Weishoff has a great field too, but it's, that was kind of how I felt when I moved up here for college, because, it was Kathy and a few other barns. And then I'd called Mike to tell him that I was going to try to get on the young rider team with Mitch again. And I was like, okay, so what event should I be going to get qualified? And because I was going to ride for Area 5, and he was like, shouldn't you be talking to your trainer in Kentucky about this? And I was like, I'm kind of just jumping on my own right now. And he was like, dude, you cannot do that. You got to go ride with somebody. And he had told me that Allie had just moved to Kentucky from California. And I was like, oh, cool. Okay. So I called her, but there weren't a ton of people here at the time. And it's definitely growing, which is super exciting. But it's been a little bit of a slow growing thing. And the UK eventing team has actually been like what's spurring, you know, the business on and kind of encouraging all of us professionals to step up and make room and make the area better, which is really, really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's, Liz, she just moved there as well.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Liz, yeah, she's like 45 minutes. Everything is kind of 20 to 40 minutes away, but she's on the north side of town.
Okay.
Yeah. She's got a beautiful farm.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, her place in Ocala was amazing, but
yeah.
Oh my goodness. So are you still doing the breeding?
I think I like to say that we got really lucky with the two. Okay. And really they were kind of it was one of those things at the time that really made sense. And then Crystal had a pretty hard birthing process. Like, I mean, she stayed down until after the foal had already stood up. So we were all like biting our fingernails and praying that she was going to make it. And that was pretty stressful. So we decided not to rebreed her. And then Prez's mom, Ella, she actually, of course, horses, she broke a leg in a field accident right during my pediatrics final. So I got a phone call after my peds final. I was like, I had all these missed texts and phone calls. I'm like, oh, crap, got to go home and deal with something. So yeah. So both of the mares that we had bred to, they're not able to have foals. So then it was just kind of waiting to have the right mare and that sort of thing. But I would love to breed pre-Crystal's baby here eventually. So we'll see. It's a financial investment. And, you know, we got really lucky with these two and I don't want to chance it, but it's something that's very interesting and I like to kind of keep an eye on. So who knows?
Yeah.
It's not a no, but maybe in the future.
Yeah. So tell us about them. So they're what you said, like around 9, 10 years old. And what are they doing now?
Yeah. So they're both 9 this year, which is crazy. And they, Prez did his first 3-star long last fall at Monte Libretti in Italy. And then Pri did her first 2 three-star shorts in the fall last year as well. So they're both kind of getting more solid at the 3-star level. And we'll see kind of where we go from there.
Yeah, that's exciting. I love hearing that, especially about like homebreds.
Yeah.
You know, you've been there since the beginning and they're, you know, U.S. horses and are doing really well. And I just like hearing those stories. Now, just to be clear, is your big time horse right now? So tell us about that horse.
Cardi B. That's what we call him in the barn. He's a total character. Funny enough, I had sold the Amistoso horse, the advanced level horse, and taken that and reinvested it in another horse that really wasn't necessarily my type of ride. He was a really big, long horse, and he was fantastic. I mean, he like was very good on the flat, a very good jumper, but just didn't really always suit all of my bad habits. And so I was kind of thinking through things and talking to Matt Flynn about him when we were in Florida at some point. He was like, I actually really like the horse. So what would you think about trading for him? And I was like, well, I mean, yeah, we could talk about it for sure. And he said, well, walk through my barn. You can look through. I've got a bunch of sale horses at the moment. And, you know, anything other than my big horse, Wizard, you can have your pick. So I saw a really pretty big bay horse and I was like, well, this one's kind of nice. Could I have a sit? And I sat on him and I asked him what he'd done. He was like, well, he's 5. He did the jumpers and I bought him through an auction and he's jumped a log and gone through water. And mind you, the other horse had gone preliminary. And I was like, well, that seems like a gamble, but sure. Okay, let's go for it. And there was just something about Cardi that I really, really loved. And so I left Friday there and picked up Cardi, and he came home, and it's kind of been, he's a funny horse. He's very careful, very spooky. Like, he's the type that you go out into the cross country schooling field and he'll like stop at the beginner novice table. And then you gallop down to the advanced table and he's like, let me have it. So he's learned to trust me, and we've got kind of a good partnership, and he's happy to truck my flailing body through the water at Carolina, and I'm very lucky for that. So here we are. He's coming 10 this year. So,
and what breed is he?
Pretty fun. He's Dutch. He's okay. Dutch.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Yeah. Now, I did read, so you packed him up, and I think you're two homebreds, and went to France.
Yeah, yeah, we got crazy last year.
And then you stayed with Maxime Livio. So can you tell us about that experience?
Yeah, so Maxime actually came over to ride at Kentucky last spring and wanted to teach a clinic to be able to fund his trip to come over. And I thought, well, we have a farm and I like to learn, so that would work. And Vanessa Coleman had connected us through EEI, and he came to teach, and he was incredible. I mean, he's by far just one of the most fantastic horsemen I've ever had the opportunity of riding with. And so I jokingly asked if they took people, in as students, and his manager, Adrian, said, well, yeah, we could figure it out. Let me talk to Max. And so they reached out to me a little later on, and they said, you know, here are prices. Do you think you're serious about it? And I had just gotten married the October before, so I was like, I guess I should talk to Kieran about it. again, my husband's a horse guy and a horse person and an eventer, and he gets it. And I'm very lucky for that. So, we sold, one of our other three-star horses, a young horse that we had invested in. And I used that money to, kind of fund this big learning opportunity. And so we packed up at the end of July and moved over, and then spent kind of end of July through December 1st over in France.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
And good. Then it also looks like that you had your 4-star debut at Stregum when you were over there too.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was my first time back at the level, or I guess really my first 4-star, because back when I ran advanced, it was a 3-star. So Cardi's first 4-star, my first one in a long time, at Stregum, which I think I probably better that I didn't know really what I was getting myself into. Max is again the best, and we had talked before I even came over about what all of the horses had done, what they were like. He remembered them from when he came to teach, and what our goals were. And he set up a schedule for all of the horses through the fall, and I was just following along. I promised myself that if I was going to go, I wanted to be fully immersed in his program, and I was going to trust him completely, because that was something that I had not ever had the opportunity to really do, because again, I'd always had horses at home. I would trailer out for lessons, and I had great, you know, a great education as a young rider, but it wasn't being in a program. So I figured, we're going to go do it. So yeah, Max loaded us up and took us to Poland for the first 4-star. It was pretty incredible.
Goodness. Yeah, incredible. And you did well. You placed 7th.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. There was, a hold in the middle of the course. It was, funny enough, my first time being held, which is so kind of silly. And it was dumping rain and freezing cold. And I was like, oh man, see how big boy Cardi handles it. But he's again, just the best. And it was incredible. It was really, really cool.
Yeah. And I did read you beat out Michael Young. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Thanks. I might put it on a hat.
There you go.
Claim the fame.
I beat Michael Young.
No, it was really cool to get to be at an event and like down the barn aisle from him. And, you know, like, it's so cool to be there, because you're around so many of the top, you know, the world's top riders, and they're all so friendly and awesome. And it's like he walks down the bar and I'm like, hey, how's it going? Like, me? Hi.
That's funny. Yeah, so.
It's so, pretty cool.
So you get starstruck too when you walk through the barns.
For sure.
Oh, that's so awesome. And you said you came back in December.
Yeah. And funny enough, I saw Joe when he was in Max's. So we went grocery shopping together.
Oh, did you? Good.
It was really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. He liked being there at Max's. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm glad.
There for a short time. Till they went to Poe, and then he went to England after that.
Yeah, and it sounded like a really great opportunity and a good experience too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he was a little homesick, but he said he didn't like the food in England.
I will tell you, not nearly as good as the food in France. Yeah. I am still trying to find something back here that could live up to just like a baguette and camembert, but. Mm. Here we are.
What's that?
Cheese. I'm a total cheese addict now. Before I was like always wanting different food, and for some reason while I was living over there, I just lived off of bread and cheese and prosciutto. So bread, cheese, meat, and that was it.
Hey,
and,
sounds great.
I mean, could have gotten scurvy, but here we are. We're still thriving. So.
Oh goodness, that's funny.
That's awesome.
Love it. So Alexa, we're gonna move along and we're gonna play quick fire questions. And quick fire questions is brought to you by Red and Goat Equestrian. Save 10% by using promo code MLE10 at checkout by going to redandgoatequestrian.com. So I know you know the show. It's 5 questions. You don't have to be quick, but we will grade you at the end. I do have a new, so I will warn you, I do have a new question. We started it last with our last interview. And we're going to keep asking the question until the team comes out. So, but we'll get to that one. We'll get to that one. All right. Are you ready?
I think so. I hope so.
All right. Favorite rider growing up?
I think I would have to say Lucinda Green. She, I loved the yellow. I loved, the way that she would go out and fight around cross country. She like stood for everything that I wanted to be. And they had a computer game. Yep, I don't know, like a desktop computer game. Right. And you could be her at badminton and it would be raining. I was always praying that it would be raining and I could pretend to be her. That was.
Yeah.
If I could be her, that would be the dream.
We still have that game.
Yeah. I found that. Like, a couple of years ago, I was like, oh, I'm buying $5 at GameStop. Done.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm so jealous.
Can we make copies of that? Probably not.
Probably not legally.
Yeah, probably not legally.
Quietly.
That is a good game. But yeah. Well, did we have 2 eventing games?
Yeah. So it was a Lucinda Green Equestrian Challenge or something like that. And then there was on the PlayStation 1, it was like the Equestrian Showcase or something like that, which had all the major, there was like Kentucky, Badman, Burley on it.
Yeah.
A couple others, I think.
Yeah.
So fun. So much fun.
We have to find them.
Yeah. They're both around somewhere.
They're somewhere. We have to find
them. That'd be a fun game night. I feel like we could really make something of this.
Yeah. I did bad. My horses always refuse the jumps. I'm not good with video games.
That's okay. We can video games. It's fine. And then we'll do the real horse stuff.
There you go. Okay. Do you have any good luck rituals or superstitions before you leave the start box?
I'm really weird and I rub I rub each ear on my horse. I have to reach forward and rub each ear. It's odd. And I don't know what I think will happen if I don't do it, but I think it brings me, if we run it like sports psychology, I think it brings me into the zone. I don't know that it's like superstition so much as just a way for me to focus, like Rafa Nadal picking his wedgie before he serves or something like that.
If it works for him, works for you.
Yeah.
probably more PC for me to touch each of my horse's ears than to pick my wedgie. But
any hobbies outside of horses? Which, oh no, that might be a tough
eating?
One.
Yeah. Eating? Eating. Trying to do my continuing education for nursing so I don't lose my license.
Eating cheese, bread, and meat. Oh
my gosh, guys. And actually olives too. I just ordered like a giant case of olives to the barn, and the girls opened it thinking it was something for the horses because it was like a big heavy box with my name on it. It was just a case of olives. My bad. Sorry.
That's so funny. Okay, so here's the new question. What is your who is your predicted U.S. team for Paris?
No pressure.
I know. We're keeping track because we want to see who's going to be correct.
I would say Boyd on commando. I think Tammy on my bomb. And then I would say Will, but on which horse? That's where I get a little stuck. And I'm not up to date on all things leading up to Kentucky either. So maybe Will and Chintonic, but I don't know. I don't know.
All right. Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
I want to know you guys what you're thinking.
I haven't decided yet. I'm going to cheat. I'm waiting for Kentucky. But I will say, watching Stable View, I might be with you with Boyd and Commando, because that horse was pretty impressive.
This I feel like is the first Olympic Games in a while where it's kind of like, all right, we got six or so horses that could make this team.
It's so cool. Yeah. It's good for the U.S.
Yes,
for sure.
Yes. I'm sure whoever gets picked, everyone's going to be like, oh, that makes sense. You know, because it's just too many. Yeah. But I like that. I do like that. I like that mix. Okay. And then, you know, Tammy and my bomb, like, that's
just the thing.
Yeah. And then
that should be a lock.
Yeah. And then Chintonic. I mean, all three of them. Just after the first phase is really good. So, all right. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Marking it down.
Yeah. Marking it down. Keeping track.
Let me know.
All right. So final question. If you could ride any horse, past, present, or fiction, who would it be?
I've been thinking a lot about this because it's such a cool opportunity. I think even still, I would go back to when I was a kid. Heather Morris had this horse called Slate River, and he was this beautiful black horse. She took him to Kentucky, and he was just like very good at all three phases. I think just little kid me would kill to have the opportunity to get to sit on him, especially now knowing what I know.
I have to look that one up. Yeah. I've never.
Yeah, I'm not sure of that.
Yeah,
one.
Definitely.
He's cool. It's and Heather is one of Tammy's really really good friends. They grew up together, so I don't know. He was really really incredible.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll look that. We'll check that out. Well.
A++.
There you go. Yay! There we go. And what we'll do is, I think what we'll do. We might have a tie, but it doesn't matter. We'll
all right, so tiebreaker. Who's the traveling alternate?
Oh gosh. Wow. No. I was so set in my brain. Now I'm gonna. I don't know, guys. That's so stressful. I haven't thought about it. You're gonna have to really cut out all of my thinking. Trying to go back to what I would have said. I don't know, Philip maybe on I really like the Julent horse.
Yeah,
that he has.
That horse is nice.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like it would be a good Steady Eddie type, mm-hmm. in that you could count on it to like come out and, mm-hmm. and do the thing.
Mm-hmm. So. All right. So
that's a good one.
All right.
Putting it down.
We're putting it down. I think what we'll do, whoever's correct, we're going to send a prize to. Yeah. I don't know what the prize will be, but it'll be something.
Later.
Who knows?
Sticker.
Yeah,
Sticker for my computer.
I know. Awesome. Oh, good. All right. Cool. Move it along.
Yeah. So, Alexa, you've obviously done a whole lot. Everything, basically. What advice would you have, for a young rider looking to make it in this sport?
That even when you feel behind, that you're not really that far behind, because in the grand scheme of things, you never really feel like you're good enough in this sport. And, it's part of what draws us to it. And so I think in a world full of social media and lists and teams and things, that if you it goes back to what everybody says, right? But like, keep working hard and that sort of thing, eventually it all pans out. And this isn't the sport where you're done when you're 18. So don't beat yourself up if you feel a little behind. There are waves, and if you just keep working hard and trying to learn and get better, you will, right? And that's probably the best, no matter what you do.
Yeah, good advice. Now, just to kind of go back, if you could do things over again, would you still go to college, or would you stick with, the boarding, all that instead of just, doing the nursing career?
I don't know. I probably would have gotten a minor in business instead of family sciences, if I had really thought about it, right? But I think college is something that has given me perspective and really kind of shaped my thought process and given me the foundation to be able to connect with people, especially like my clients. I have a lot of college students that ride with me, and professionals or professors even, right? And being able to kind of know what they go through day in and day out, and what stresses, they have in their life, it helps me help them better. College, I think, as much as, my parents are going to be like, "Ha, told you so." As much as I didn't enjoy college when I was in it, I'm so, so grateful that I went and did it. Probably just would have changed up my major a little bit.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But nursing, that's a really good fallback.
And it's good just to know in general anyway.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's even helping out, doing some barn work and something happens to a horse, you kind of at least have, anatomy's a little bit different, but similar type of stuff going on, I'm sure.
For sure. I mean, between Pony Club and nursing, I'm really, really there to help you with a cut or to give a shot. For sure. Dietary stuff, nutrition, I've got your back for sure. Doing my accounting, sending my invoices on time, count on that being a little late, but I'm trying.
Bill, the check is in the mail.
It's coming,
but I could stitch up a cut, no problem. Yeah,
exactly.
Love it.
Like QuickBooks, I can't get the gosh darn bank account to connect. It's such a pain.
I hear you. Yeah. And I don't know why it does that. It's like, one minute it's perfectly fine, and then I go in again and there's a connection problem with your, I'm like, geez, a whiz. Yeah. It happens all the time. Yeah. It's not there's just a, you.
Oh, thank goodness. There's a red exclamation mark next to one of my clients' payments. I'm like, I can't get rid of it. It's driving me bonkers. Yep. I've watched every YouTube video to try to get rid of it, and nothing helps. But, okay. Let me know if you need fluids.
Oh, goodness. This is awesome. Alexa, so what we're going to do, we're going to wind things down. But we always love for you to have the opportunity to recognize any sponsors or supporters you have. So who do you have behind you?
Oh, gosh. I've got a really, really great group of clients, sponsors, a great team in the barn. So I mean, if you don't mind, I'll go down a big long list of them, but I just, it's as much as this podcast is about me, like, it's not about me, right? Like, I wouldn't be able to do any of this stuff without the companies that support us and the people that support us and the horses. I mean, it goes on and on. So, I would love to be able to thank, Macaulay's Feed, Flair and Achieve Equine, Bluegrass Animal Products, Devaku, Kinetic Vet, Equilibrium Therapy, Mrs. Pastures, you got to feed the cookies, Life Force Supplements, Free Jump, and then Kesmark. And then our team at home, we've got like truly the best team. Hannah Warner, she is my right hand girl and like incredible. Nico Duval, Tiff Lester, Manuel and Luis, they're like unbeatable. And then, of course, my husband, who is like an actual saint, Kieran, and then both of my parents, because they have been my biggest fans and biggest supporters. And then the rest of our family, you know, both of our families, Kieran and mine, for supporting this crazy dream and the fact that we're only at like maybe half of a holiday every year. So just really, really grateful to everybody for supporting me and the team.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that was great. No, I really liked how you actually thanked everyone, like your team. You actually, you know, said your name and all that. So I like that, you know, I think that's great. Mm-hmm. You know, they definitely deserve their name being said and really recognized.
I'm so, so grateful. Truly. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Cool. All right. And Alexa, how do people follow along in your journey?
We're trying to be so hip, so cool with all the social media. I am learning. We've got my personal Instagram, alexa.e.thompson. And then the Team Clear Equestrian has an Instagram as well. Clearview Farm or Clearview Equestrian Center has a Facebook page. And I think I might have a TikTok that occasionally has something that comes up, but I just can't hop on. I'm trying so hard to figure out how to do that. So, but those are all great places to find us and get connected. And then my phone number and email should be on there too, if anybody has questions or needs anything.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. We'll definitely link all that up so people can just click and follow along. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. You're the best.
Yeah. So this was great.
Yeah, this was awesome.
So much fun getting to know you, and gosh, I mean, now I really want to go to Kentucky.
please do. We would love to have you guys out, and the farmhouse is getting redone, so there's an extra bedroom if you guys want to come hang out.
Yeah, good. There we go. You
know, cough on the phone a little bit, calling sick.
Yeah.
There's, after COVID, you can work right from afar or something, isn't that?
Yeah.
I'll just pretend to be sick.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah, my work, forget it. They're like, you come in the office.
Gosh darn it.
Oh, I know. Well, Alexa, this was great. Thank you so much for coming on. It was great to hear your journey, and best of luck with everything.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much for having me. It means a lot, really, truly. It's an honor to get to be a major league.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and never miss an episode of the Major League Eventing Podcast.